Hallelujah. Okay, are we ready to receive the word tonight? As I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. I am blessed, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are too, because you said that, because you feel that. And God has given me I don't know how many messages in the last few days. As I sought Him for tonight, this is what I felt like He said. So I expect there to be life changes tonight, thought process changes. And I will reiterate again tonight that hearing a good word does you no good. In fact, let me go one step further. When you hear something that grabs you and says, I need that, or that's a good word, and you don't act on it, it's bad for you because it will harden your heart. God's word is of extreme value, of great value. And when He gives you something of great value and you don't appreciate it, don't expect to continue to get that. And I'll tell you the truth. If you don't make your mind up and move on words that God gives you, the next step will be that you are not being fed. That will be the excuse you use to leave the church. I'm not being fed there. Well, the reason you're not being fed is because you brought no food. Well, that's astounding, isn't it? You're not being fed. You know, it's the old sign cliche, but you can't eat once a week and live 6 days without eating. So if you're not feeding 6 days a week, you will not be fed when you get here. It's just the way it is. All right, Father, we give you this time. We give you our ears and our hearts. We don't do that to be entertained. We do that to be changed. We say that in Jesus' name, and everybody that agrees says, Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you hopefully something with a new different slant from the book of Genesis. If you'll put that Genesis 1, 1 and 2 up there. Okay, I'm going to read the... Somebody's saying something to me. I'm going to read just the first two verses and then I'm going to stop for a moment. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now I'm going to ask you a question. I want to present this as an end of a year and a beginning of a new year. But we are in control of both. We don't count past as history. Please don't do that. I know that Christianity wants to teach you the past is gone. No, it isn't. It's still right there in your mind, if nothing else. And we can change some of the ways we look at the past so that we look at the future better. So let's don't just discard it yet. If you want to do that later, that's up to you. But first, let's make our mind up about it. Now, I want to show you something. In the first two verses of Genesis, who made the heaven and the earth? And what did He say about it? Did He? Or did He call it without form and void? Who made the heaven and the earth? And He said it was without form and void. Have you ever made anything without form or void? I have. I have created things with my thought processes, with my mind, even with my prayer life, that when I looked at it, it wasn't exactly what I was expecting. And I want to tell you that because that's what God did. But He didn't stop there. So those things that have been painful to you, those things that that you look at and you say, I wish I hadn't have done that, that's not how God did it. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's looking at His history. This is what I did yesterday. I created this form, this world, but it's not producing. It's not making me money. It's not making me souls. It's not making me pleasure. It's just there. There it is. I've made this baby and there it is. Now, I don't care what anybody says. Y'all got some of those. You got some of them. And I'm going to give you the formula tonight on how God took care of it. But let me just keep. This is how God did it. I'm going to show you in the Scripture. He looked at what He had, past, present, future. If this Scripture doesn't apply to us, let's don't waste our time studying it, okay? Seriously. God's finished. He created and He sat down and rested and said, now it's your turn. That's exactly what He said in the Bible. Don't ask me to get up. Don't ask me to get out of my chair. Don't ask me to do anything for you. I'm finished. He entered into His Sabbath. He's asking us to enter into ours. But he's not going to push us in there. We've got to make a decision on it and do it. Here's how he did it. God is never pleased without form and void. But it might be a stage we go through. Right? Sometimes the things that we've prayed about, but sometimes the things that we've started, they look like they're without form and void. But God looked at without form and void and said, it's not. I'll report to you that's where it was, but right here, it's not. He had a plan and a vision. What was it? Well, number one, he wanted change. Everybody agree with that? He wanted that without form and void to change, just like he does in us. So he's got to show us how to do it. How he did it is a good way to do it. So what he did, he began to say, without form and void, darkness, I don't like dark. You understand him? He tells us he doesn't like dark. He doesn't even like people that like dark. So we know that he's going to introduce light. Right? He doesn't like convoluted things. He likes things black and white. He likes things wet and dry. A good way for us to be. We get in trouble when we let things blend over and they can become muddled. We know that's good because he's going to introduce it as good. But what I want to present to you tonight is how to introduce change. What we do is to say, I want change. We don't ask God for how we want it changed. We don't ask for good. We don't picture. He gave us dominion, but we won't even use this for what he gave us to take and use it correctly, or take the dominion and use it correctly. And when we do it timidly. One thing, God never said anything to this earth and said, I hope, I hope, I hope. You know why? I'm going to give you the key here. The why is he already saw it before he said it. What did he see? Good. Now I want you, we're going to harp on this tonight. What he saw was not without form and void. He saw good. So he never looked at a problem that looked bad and called it bad. He looked at a situation, a problem, a void, a lack, a want, a need, and he said, good. Well, what's good about that? Well, I can take care of it. And I can take care of it good. And then he created us in his likeness and image and rested and said, now you're going to do it. What? I'm going to quit calling things bad. I'm going to start calling them good. I'm going to stop looking at that dumb sign that's on the highway over here and said pneumonia season's right around the corner. And you look at that and you say, that's not good. Healing is right around the corner. It's here. It's now. That's the reason pneumonia is not going to happen. Why? Not because I say it, because I see it. God's been really speaking to me about this, and we're probably going to be on it some more. If you have something wrong, then you need to see it right and then say it. Do you know how much easier it is to proclaim something you've already seen? They've overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The word of the testimony is the way that I can cause you to overcome. I've already overcome, so I'm not trying to encourage me. I'm trying to keep me encouraged, but there's a word out there for you. That is that any bad thing that's ever happened to you in 2008 and before is never bad. You called it bad, that's why it's bad. You need to stop calling it bad and call it good. Because if God can look at something without form and void and say, yuck, oh, that's not bad, that's good, then you have to do it. You have to do it. No, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. What was the words that Susie used? Something is, what'd she say? Shattered. 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 You know what shattered is? Well, that's like the earth when it was full of sin and got washed. The flood wasn't bad to Noah because God told him, you're going to be fine. And he saw fine and he was fine. Shattered is an egg that hasn't been opened yet. It's now being opened. That's shattered. For what purpose? I need something to eat. This shattering is good. Shattering is when your life comes undone. The loss of a spouse, the loss of a child, the loss of something that you valued tremendously. Is it bad? Because it may be without form and void, but only until you call it good. When you begin to call it good, you can see it good. Let God decide which comes first. But I'm going to promise you, when you practiced it, you'll start seeing things and calling it, which is much easier to do. But first, by faith, you're going to call them and then see them. He wanted good change. Number two, he saw that it was good. Number three, he spoke it. And at the end of this creation time, because he saw it and spoke it, then physically he saw that it was very good. It wasn't good anymore. Let me tell you what I'm going after. If you will see something as good, the promise is, I'll do something for you far beyond anything that you ever thought or asked. Is that correct? All right, if you will go ahead and call it good, then at the end of this thing, when you actually see the manifestation, tangible manifestation, it won't be good, it will be very good. It'll be better than you can call it. That's the example that God said. Now let's back that up with Scripture, okay? Number four is he saw what he'd already seen. Just better. In the third and fourth verse of Genesis, first chapter, he said, then God said something good. He said, let there be light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Which came first here? All right, let me ask you this. What caused him to say it? Did he see it and it caused him to say it? Or he said it and it caused him to see it? That's what it says. I'm not too sure that's the way it is, but I'm telling you, that's the way it's said. So we have an example of how we are first required to introduce light into a dark situation. God saw that it was dark, without form and void, and darkness covered the deep. Darkness. But he also said the Spirit hovered. Now the Spirit doesn't hover in darkness. So the light was already there. I'm telling you, if we're in the right spirit, if we're in the right frame of mind, you can turn out every drop of light in this building and light is still here. You don't believe that? Try a night vision scope. See how much light is just out there that that thing can pick up and turn darkness into daylight. He spoke light into existence, saw it good. Here's what he didn't see. A ball of fire. A few years back, I was listening to some stupid newscaster, scientist, or anti-science, and he said, we all need to be concerned because that ball is on fire and soon it will burn out. Well, when? Well, we don't know when. Maybe a few billion years. Well, you're a fool. You're a fool. What in the world do you care if in a few billion years it burns out? You're a numbskull. You're using your brain to put out lights. We could look up in the morning and say, the sun is up. Oh my God, it's a ball of fire. Or we can say, God made light. I mean, this sounds really simple because we all know the answer. But I'm telling you, every moment of every day we're faced with those choices. How do I view? How do I vision? Is this a threat? Is it without form and void? Is it worthless? Or is it something that's profiting me? When we see a change, and here's the biggest thing I got to tell you. When you see change, do you expect trouble? Oh, I got to move. I've got to change jobs. I got fired today. Oh, really? Did you get fired or was that an opening for you to advance? Which one are you expecting to see? Because you're going to speak what you've seen. What you expect to see is what you're seeing. Oh my, I'm going to run out of money. Really? Like those guys in the desert? Going to run out of stuff like the shoes didn't wear out, water out of the rock, manna from heaven. Is that what you're expecting? All right, in other words, if you don't have a job ever, has God promised to take care of you? Did he say, I've never seen one of mine go hungry? Well, I know how I can teach you to go hungry. You just say, I'm going to go hungry, and you'll go hungry. But you're not his because you're not talking like him. Acts of the Scripture says, your father's Satan. You want me to get rough about it? If you don't speak like God would speak, your father's Satan. That's what the Scripture says. In Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 9. The next thing. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and so it was. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Do you know what people of God see? Opportunities, never failures. They see success. They see good. What is dry? I don't know, but it's good. He called it good. What is water? I don't know really, but it's good. He called it good. What is the separation of those two? It's good. Do you understand it? No, you don't understand it all. You don't understand how it was all one and then it became separated. You don't understand that. Scientists don't understand that. They don't understand how it stays separated. So what do they predict? It's not going to stay separated. We're going to have global warming and we're all going to be covered up. They forgot to read where it says God separated it. And no Al Gore goof is going to make it any different because he's not going to penetrate my mind with his words. He's just looking for a salary. So he's found a platform to speak from. Read the Bible and you'll get some smarts. You'll know it was good. What's this deal about Israel? Don't know, but it's good. How can it be good? Don't know. I didn't make the revelation. I didn't make the proclamation. Except I'm agreeing with the proclamation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and fruit tree that yields fruit according to its own kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its own kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now let me ask you something. So I'm going to push you a little further now. Since this was not and had not happened on the earth, listen carefully, who conceived it? Because you told me he said it and then he saw it. But this is getting so detailed that I'm going to submit to you that he had to see it before he said it. Why? Well, I'm going to put something else out to you. I think that if we can learn to see things as good all the time, we will begin to get details on how to specifically correct it. Now, these are child steps. These are not instantaneous things. But we've practiced fearing bad so long that we have a hard time calling things good. Therefore, we don't get those particular, those little small details like seed from fruit and seed from this and seed. This is how it's going to happen. We don't get that information because we haven't quite agreed with God's word and his mind yet. Those doors are going to open when we begin to see everything as good. I'm telling you, he controlled creation by seeing good creation. Very detailed also. It was a detailed, I'm going to say it again. He had to see it before he could say it. There's no way. He could have said, let there be light. All right, we'll let him get by with that one. He said that one first, and then he saw it. But what about this detailed stuff? Don't you think that he already had a plan in his mind before he spoke? Do we have one? Or do we just let her fly? I had a flat on the way over here. It couldn't be good. Oh, really? Okay. It can't be good. Is that what you're expecting? Genesis 1, verses 16, 17, 18. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. See, I want to teach a week on each one of these scriptures because they get so detailed, but I can't do that. I would like to teach salvation from this. I would like to show you Jesus in this, in the first few verses of Genesis. Everything is in Genesis. The whole Bible's in Genesis, including Jesus. But let's stick with this. He not only gave a plan of dominion, of rule, he spoke two different things here. This is the detailness that I'm trying to get you to see. It wasn't just night and day. It was light and dark. They're two different things. Do you see that in here? And he made, even in the darkness, he made the greater light to rule the lesser light. Well, Jesus came He became that greater light, took dominion, ruled over the lesser light, but he's not here now. He did his work. So who's the greater light now? So there might be some darkness. There might be some night. But who is to rule over that? The greater light. I have a light about this. That even, see, part of the definitions of without form and void is darkness, great darkness. Well, there was a greater light ruled over that and changed it. We've been given that also. There's still a dark force in this earth. You have to choose whether it's affecting you or you're affecting it. Who's ruling in this thing? Are we going to be like God and call? See, is there anything wrong with night? No, God made it. And he put chemicals in you to obey it. You have something in you that tells you when to sleep and tells you when to wake up, and it's based on light. Well, I'm here to tell you, you ought to be awake all the time because I'm giving you some light now. Just be awake in the fact that you're ruling over anything that comes to you in the middle of the night, anything that describes fear, anything that comes in the form of a threat, anything that is described to you or you see as bad, you rule over that darkness. You are the greater light. The greater light is in you. You say it how you can swallow it, but you need to say it. This is good. Genesis chapter 1, by the way. Okay. Genesis chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Verses 20 and 21. Then God said, let the waters abound. How many of you are afraid of deep water? Why are you afraid of anything? It's full of abundance. You know, I always find it comical. We've done and still do some scuba diving. There's a place in Cozumel where you're going along maybe 60, 80, 100 feet deep. Depends on where you're entering. And then there's this straight off wall. Straight off. 2,000 feet deep. And my wife won't go near that. Now, where's the logic in this? I'm 100 feet deep. I can drown in 2 inches of water. If I'm going to drown, what difference does it make if I drown 100 feet or 2,000 feet? If I've chosen to drown, let's get it over with. Let's point the fins up to the air and let's sail down as deep as we can go and let's just kill ourselves. Let's don't be afraid. Let's kill ourselves. I would rather kill myself than be afraid. One is against God. Let's have some little fun in it. Let's stop the fear. Let's stop the fear. Let's get our minds in gear and say, I'm as safe on the side of this wall as I am 2 inches from the surface. If I shouldn't be 2 inches under, if I shouldn't be 100 feet under, I shouldn't be 2 inches under. And I haven't got any business out there where there's no bottom. But that sea's mine. How do I know? Because God created good. Come on. Let me read it to you again. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves and with which the waters abounded according to their kind and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was... Why? Because he only put good things in there. What's scary down there? Hello, and I want you to argue with the Bible or I want you to agree with it. What is scary down there? Nothing. My wife's going... How many sharks have we swam with? Hundreds? They're good. I don't like them. If God would have asked me, should I put sharks on the water, I would have said no. But if he would have asked me why did you do skunks? Well, they must be good. You know, right now, big old pile of cheesecake about this would be a good, but I don't want any right now. Okay? I got other things to do right now. Barracuda, it can just chop your arm off. How many thousands have we swum with? When are we going to get afraid and why? That says it was good. I'm afraid to fly. Well, really? You need to fly. You need to look. You know why I'm saying this? Anything that makes you afraid, you attack it. You grab it, you pull it up, and you say, I have dominion here because that Bible says so. I don't care if you're shaking when you do it. Because you start saying it like that, then you're going to see yourself greater than any enemy, and pretty soon there's no enemies. God didn't just tell this story to figure out how earth got here. He gave it to us so that we would understand how to have dominion on the earth that He created good. We're going to use this oil and burn it all up. We're not going to have any oil. Is that good? Do you think if the Creator of all things was calculating how much oil it would take to get us to the time when Jesus returned, do you think He missed it? Water? Glaciers? Come on, people. We need to learn when to laugh at foolish statements and things and thoughts. Because the first place, we're going to laugh at ours. We're all going to keep having them. But they're going to get less and less effective on us. In the King James, it says beasts. Did you know that? Now let me read. Genesis 1, 24 and 25. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind." Just remember that now several times we've been subjected to the term according to its kind. God said, "I'm creating and it is good." What kind are you? Who are you created after? And what are you reproducing? Here's what, according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Can I tell you something? Let's just use a little simple example. Beasts bring to our memory bad things. But the Bible said, "I created beasts, and it's good." Who convinced us that the word beast was a negative word? How about those things that creep on the ground? I vote that they don't come in my house. But I vote that they must be good. So when I look, here a few weeks ago, Haley comes in and she's holding a snake. Look, there's a snake. Evidently, somebody hadn't got to her yet. She thought that she ruled over that snake. How in the world did she get that foolish thought? We've got to set her down and tell her, "You must be afraid of snakes. They might kill you." Where do we stop, guys? Do we raise our children? Do we allow people to raise us to be afraid of everything we might not understand? No wonder we can't rule and reign. No wonder we can't move in the faith that we should. You get on an airplane, you command that airplane to take you where you want it to go. You have dominion. That plane does not have dominion. Every scientific thing that causes that airplane to stay in the earth, God, or above the earth, God created, and He gave us dominion with that same over that science. Over it. And you can start taking a basic flight course, and the first thing they tell you is that air does not lift the plane. Not under the wing. Well, that's what everybody thinks. No. Yeah, but I've held my hand out the window, and I know when the air hits the bottom of my hand, it goes up. Well, science tells you no. It creates a vacuum on top and lifts it up. Ooh, that'll preach. I can write that down. Something that God did for birds, for us, is that when we point that wing just right, we get lift. When you angle our wings, our spiritual wings, just right, it just lifts us right off the ground. And now the ground doesn't even have dominion. That plane we got on, my wife and I got on that time to go to Chicago, where it was. Man, it sounded like it's going to come undone. I mean, that's the worst sound I ever heard. And they ran at it twice. And then went back to the terminal and everybody got off except her and I. She said, "Stan, what are we going to do?" I said, "We're going to stay on this plane and we're going to Chicago. We got a ticket on this plane. This plane's the safest place in the air and it's going to take us where we want. We're going to get there when we want." And that's exactly what happened. And we had the whole plane to ourselves. Everybody else took the next flight. Well, it was their inconvenience. Why would I allow a threat? Are you listening? Why would I allow a threat to make me fearful? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, and 28. Now I want to show you something different here. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man. So He did it. He had a vision of it. So He did it. He created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. And it doesn't say He was good. Why? Come on, the answer's right there in front of you. It's very simple. Isn't that amazing? He didn't have to pronounce good over that. He didn't have to see it good before He created it. He took us out of Him. It had to be good. He didn't even have to say it. We're supposed to be smart enough to know that. Now that ought to excite you a little bit. You spend half your life wondering if you're good or not. God said you were. I mean, unless you think He's bad, then I don't know if you've got any hope. He didn't even take Him faith. Did you know that? It took no faith to call us good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. After He had done all of this in great detail, and He had proclaimed it, does He not say in His Word that you'll have what you say? Here's what I introduced to you the first. That is, He saw everything that He had made, and indeed, it was very good. It was better than He called it. He set the example. It turned out better than He pictured it. Even us. That's a hard one to swallow, Stan. Well, quit swallowing it. Just eat it. Just let somebody pull your jaw out and ram it down. You got those dumb people that go into bars and they take funnels and pour beer down their throat or alcohol. Good night. At least let the Word go down your gullet. Let it go where it's supposed to go. I'll say it to you again. You've got some things that were rough in your life. I don't care about how many years. What you need to do is stop agreeing with the enemy and calling those things as bad or shaky or I don't understand. You don't have to understand. Just open the gullet up and swallow. Just let it go down. God can give you understanding. He can give you information that passes your understanding. And you have to catch up with the understanding if you'll first call it good. How about that guy that died out there on the farm? It was good. Well, explain it to me, Stan. No. No. If you're not going to take God's word for it, you're not going to take mine either. So you just listen. My decision, it's good. I'm not going to argue about it. I'm not going to listen to your argument about it. Speak to the hand. And I'm going to use the right hand because that's the one of power and authority. We need to decide tonight. If it makes you feel good, to first decide the next year. First decide the next year's good. No matter what. See, if you can't call it good before you see it, then it's going to be very difficult to call it good now that you have seen it. That's the way faith works. Let's call the year 2009 going to be the best year you've ever had. Individually, corporately, spiritually, financially. Now let's go one step further. Let's look back at all those trials, tribulations, problems, and pains and thank God for them, because we can't get 2009 to be better if we haven't figured out that 2008 was the reason 2009 is going to be better.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
That's our building blocks, our stepping stones, our education, it's our information, it's our enlightenment. Everything that's past is what's going to make us, build us up, and cause us to go forward. I don't do hype very well. I'm telling you the truth. That's the truth. Without form and void, it's very good. 7 days. 6 days. And the seventh day rested. He rested. How long is it going to take you to make your mind up and speak to those things and make them good? In Revelation 12:11, it says, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony and did not love their lives to the death. Overcame Him. Who's Him? The one that is trying to convince you that it's not good. If it's you, get yourself straight. But after you get yourself straight, Him will be around. Him's not going away until Jesus says so. He's going to come to you and tell you how bad things are, and your job is to tell Him how good things are. He hears that enough from you, He'll stop talking to you. The thoughts will still come, but He will not resist you. Overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. See, we have the new covenant. We're not in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. We have the blood of the Lamb. And the word of their testimony. What's your testimony? Let me suggest to you tonight that your testimony is what you've already seen. It's not what you're expecting to see. You know I don't like us talking about the future the way we talk about it. One of these days, God's going to deliver us. I am delivered. Pastor talked about that Sunday. I may be damaged. I don't even know that I'm damaged. I think I'm just delivered. I don't even think I'm going to be damaged. Somebody gets to beat you up to damage you. And they've tried. I just don't think I receive it. I think I'm going to receive it as training, bodybuilding, spirit building. The things that I've had to war against and walk through have done nothing but to make me stronger. So it is good. Good for what? Good for what I'm fixing to do. What are you fixing to do? I don't know, but it's good. What does tomorrow hold? Good. Well, have you read about the good? I don't know what you're reading about, but what I'm reading tells me it's good. Well, what about this depression? I'm not depressed. You can be depressed if you want to. But it says no weapon that's formed against me will prosper. Right? So I fully intend to prosper. Now, they may have to give up some of their money and give it to me, which is Jeremiah 29:11. Right? That's their job. If they're going to choose destruction, then only what they have will be destroyed from them. It will not be destroyed when it comes to me. It'll be restored when it comes to me. If God can trust me. Can He trust me? I would like to give you a chance to overcome with your testimony. I would like for you to have some, you tell me something that has just given you all kinds of pain or grief, and you tell me that it's good. You tell them that it's good. Come on. Speak what it is. See, did you know the Bible says there's no other name? There's a name above all names. You know what that means? Name something. If it's been a pain in the butt to you for 20 years, you name it. You call it that if you have to. And then you say, but I call it good. Because you rule. You reign. You have the final word, not the problem. Come on, anybody here bold enough to do that? You thought it and then said it was good, right? Because you didn't want to speak it, right? And I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to agree with you that I don't care what it feels like and I don't care what it looks like. It's good. I didn't say the outcome was going to be according to the way you have designed it. But when God looks at you like He has tonight and He's spoken to you that it's good, you take it. You say that it's good. And then you let Him decide the details about where the light is, what's separated from here or there, what's divided. Amen? Right? Right? See, God doesn't care about what you want. Nobody else does. Unless it's just good. Now God cares. Because, see, He's the good. He's the creator. He's the founder. He's the manufacturer of all good. He is good. It's hard for us to call Him what He is, but He is good. And when you release Him into a situation by opening the Word and saying it's good, then He can go to all those details we just read about and He can manufacture the outcome and call it very good. The best way in the world tonight to end this year, which this year's not bad. It's not bad. Do you understand that most people are going to hoop it up tonight because this year's going away? They're going to celebrate that it went away. They say they're celebrating the new year. Well, why are you celebrating the new year? What's wrong with the one we got? They're doing it because they don't like 2008. And they'll tell you for a week what's wrong with it. There's a lot of you will tell me all about how the bad stuff in 2008 happened. No, you need to tell me. You need to tell God. You need to thank God. See, if you really want to know if your heart's right, you look at Him and you thank Him tonight for the worst thing in your life. The very worst thing. The thing that hurts you the most. The thing that keeps you awake at night. The thing that is just going totally against what you want. See, that's a good God when He goes against what you want and gives you what you need. Little kids like to run out in the middle of the street and play. They don't always get what they want. They get what they need. Get back over there. You don't have to worry till midnight to begin to praise Him. In fact, if you're wise, you'll go out of this place praising Him. You'll spend tonight, if anybody wants to say cheers, you give them something to cheer about. I'm so glad that I don't need alcohol to get me into some stupor where I believe this. I've already been pickled in the Word. And it made me brighter, not duller. And the DPS can't pull me over for it. Can't even write me a ticket for it. I don't have to call the yellow little green cab or what have they been advertising on TV. For those drunks, they go out and spend hundreds of dollars to get stone wasted and then look for a free cab ride. I want to get stone wasted in the Word. So I want to get so staggering blind to everything else that people think I'm drunk. You got to be drunk. You can't believe the stuff unless your mind is warm. No, no, no. I'm washing you with the Word. I'm being washed in the Word. Your mind is going to be cleaner tonight than it was when you came in. When you leave here, you're going to be able to see a 2009 better than a 2008, not because 2008 was bad, because it's going from good to very good. God ordained it that way. You can choose to agree with Him. I would if I were you. I set before you tonight life and death, blessings and curses. You choose. I highly recommend you choose life. Why? Because it's good. And that's what God gave you, good life. Not mediocre life, not rough life. I don't want to go to a church that tells me how rough life's going to be, but I can overcome. What do I want to overcome for? It's double work. God has already overcome. Jesus has overcome. The work is done. All I need to do is agree with it. I need to quit worrying about what people have taught me is bad and just go for the good. Have I lied to you not tonight? Have I told you anything that sounds like a pipe dream? I hope not. To me, Christianity is not worth a dime unless you get your hands on something. You can give it feet and you can walk out with it. You can fight with it. You need something to fight with, because tonight, I promise you tonight, I've given you such a good word that the enemy's going to come and tell you how dumb it is. And you're going to need to proclaim right there, it's good. And tomorrow, when you're thinking about this, I hope it haunts you. My grandmother on my mother's side one time, it's just a good basic thought. They told her, said, I believe you would say something good about everybody in the world, even the devil. She said, he is faithful. She could even see good in that. She didn't call him an enemy that was hard to beat. She called him faithful. She just knew she had to be more faithful. There's the reality of life. Most of us don't want to deal with realities, but the reality is he's faithful, but God is more faithful. And the God in me is more faithful, and me and God's more faithful. And I'll just give you a clue to a later message. I don't have to go around saying in Jesus' name all day long, acting like the fool. I can say, I'm in Jesus' name. I'm in Jesus' name. I don't have to call it anymore. I'm in it. You I know, and you I know, but you I don't know. Remember the word? Say, I want the devil to know my name. I want him to know me as Jesus. He doesn't need to know any other name. In fact, no other name will do. Did you know Jesus and good are the same name? So if I say good, I don't have to say in Jesus' name good. Because good, he sees Jesus. Why? Because it's the only place good comes from. God the Father through Jesus into us now. I'm good. Oh, well. Y'all got some place to go tonight? This is the party. There's no better party. My wife said, are we going somewhere tonight? I hope not. I mean, it's all right if we go somewhere. That's fine. But I'm satisfied. I'm not looking for the party. I am the party. I told her, I said, I told you weeks ago, we'll get on the plane, we'll go to Denver for tonight, check into the hotel. Zeno's going to be there. Oh, yeah. I know. And we'll usher in the new year in a party. She turned that down. Now she wants to go somewhere.
right, do a little dance. Come on. You don't want to go with me? Haley, can you do it? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Woo!
If that doesn't affect you like it does me, I feel sorry for you. Because I get encouraged every time I hear that. I remember God saying, in the spirit realm, this is what the enemy hears from you. So that's a treasure to me. Amen? Does that shatter y'all a little bit? I hope so. Y'all stand. Hallelujah. All hearts clear? Have you done what I asked you to do tonight? And that you've called that worst thing in your life good. Now you can go to the second worst. Till you get it all. If I was religious, I'd say all under the blood. But I'm not religious. I want you to call it all good. Call it good. How you doing today? Good. Good. I don't even have to be creative about it. I'm just doing good. You're boring. You say that all the time. Good. Good. You know what happens when you finally get that settled in your life? You go around and start telling everybody about theirs that it's good. Because it's all you can see. All you can see. Father, we thank you tonight that this is not an end. It's not even a beginning. It's just a continuation of a good life. A good place. A good church, good friends. I have good thoughts. I have good abilities. Those mistakes that I've made in the past, they have been changed to good. That's your promise. They might have been a mistake, but you turned it good. Without form and void, and you made it good. You've asked me to do the same thing. You've asked these people to do the same thing. Now teach them your ways, Lord. Teach them your mind about these things, about how you can look at something that looks like total destruction and say, that's good. That's good. There is no destruction in our lives. There's nothing but good. As we move forward, it's good. We're going to create good in our community, in our family, in our businesses, in this kingdom of our living God. We ask you, Father, to use us as oracles. First, to speak to without form and void and make it good. Then to be able to see corrections and see things that you want done and then speak them so that we see them very good. Teach us your way. Make us wise. There's no wisdom in us, but with your mind, we're wise. We thank you that that's not only our ability, but it's our treasure that your mind placed in us. So we can trust you more and more every day, and we can teach others to trust you more and more every day. For these things, we give you praise. For 2007-8, we give you praise. For 2009, which you've not even yet seen, we give you praise. Everything that we've touched, every place we've walked, every place we put our feet, everything that we have touched and laid our hands on, it is good, but it's going to be very good. In Jesus' name, we proclaim it. It is real. It is alive, it is true, and we and others around us will never be the same. And we proclaim that, and everybody that agrees says, amen. Amen. Thank you for your time.